Welcome to Wallowing in the Shallows, the podcast that skirts the perilous drop-off of a deep dive into television and movies. We are academic nerds aspiring to become TV and movie geeks. There are no spoiler guards in the shallows, so listen at your own risk. This week, join us for a wallow and a Buffy the Vampire Slayer Season 2 rewatch. Hey, hello, peeps. Welcome back to Wallowing in the Shallows. This is Tori.
And this is Rebecca. And today we're talking about Buffy the Vampire Slayer Season 2, Episode 11, Ted.
Not your big friendly teddy bear.
Not at all. Not at all. Very interesting little episode here. I have a little summary I'd be happy to share.
All right. Lay it on me.
Joyce has a new beau, Ted, but something about him is not quite right. He seems perfect, but he becomes abusive with Buffy, and she kills him. But a little thing like death does not slow Ted down. He returns to the Summers' home, and it is revealed to Buffy that he's actually a robot who has been marrying replacement wives since the 1950s. Buffy decommissions him permanently.
Nice line there. Nice. I hope you can't hear the crows out there. For some reason, there's this crow outside and it just won't shut up.
Really squawking, huh? Well, yeah. I have not heard him yet.
Okay, good. Good, good, good. Yeah, what'd you think about this episode?
Well, I really must admit that when it seemed like she had killed a person,
mm-hmm.
that was a real dark turn.
Yeah.
And I wasn't sure I knew what to do with that. And it was like, gosh, you've got to know your own power. Right. And but I mean, Ted was clearly abusive and out of order, but she is a deadly weapon.
Right.
So I guess it lightened up when we find out that Ted is not human. He's a robot. But that doesn't change the fact that she did lose control and killed what she absolutely believed at the time was a human being.
Yeah, and you kind of have to wonder, you know, over the centuries, how many times that's happened with Slayers.
Yes. Yes, because she absolutely had every right to fight back.
Yeah.
But she kept swinging.
Yeah.
It wasn't like he just happened to be close to the stairs. No, she was beating him up all the way to the stairway, and then he happened to
And I think, you know, it was a big thing in this episode that she takes responsibility for that. She doesn't try to shirk it. She even talks to Willow and Xander about how, you know, she didn't have the right to use that, her full Slayer abilities on Ted. So, which is important, right? That everybody takes responsibility for their own actions and doesn't try to. I always hate it when people say, "You made me do this." I'm like, no, they didn't. It's still your choice.
Yes.
It's one of those things that just drives me insane.
Yes. So I was shocked. There was definitely, I felt there was something off about Ted, but I had not predicted he was an android.
Right.
And so it was like, wow, where are we going to go here?
Right.
With her killing her mom's boyfriend, even though he was abusive to Buffy, he had not yet revealed his abusiveness toward Joyce, which was coming.
Right.
But
right,
Buffy had cut it off at the pass, and Joyce wasn't going to know that.
Right. In the course of us chatting here, it made me jump back to Lie to Me, right, with Fordham, Billy Fordham. And I'm wondering, should Buffy have felt the same remorse and accepted the same amount of responsibility for leaving Ford in the basement knowing full well that the vampires would kill him.
Oh.
And most likely, you know, resurrect him as a vamp. But yeah, I don't know.
Gosh, that I was nowhere near as struck by that death.
Yeah.
Which one could say was more intentional than Ted.
Right.
But Ford wanted to be left with the vampires, and Buffy did try to tell him it is not going to be what you think it is.
Right.
But you can only do so much.
Right.
So I didn't feel near the feelings I did about she needed to be responsible for it the same way as in this episode. Nowhere close. Mm-hmm. But that is a very interesting parallel, because you're right. She knew exactly what his fate was. She even said, we need to wait and then get the body.
Yeah. I mean, clearly she was very sad about it and everything in that episode, but I didn't get the remorse that you get here with Ted.
No. And I guess I'm going to say I didn't feel like she was shirking that. I didn't feel it was as warranted with the Ford case.
All right. Yeah. It just, like I said, popped into my head while we were chatting.
Yeah. Yeah. No, absolutely. And it's interesting that it didn't, in the way that it just, I was like, holy cow in this one. Boy, Buffy, you really kind of blew it here.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when I first saw this, I didn't like it at all. I remember really disliking this episode to the point where, as many times as I've rewatched the series, there were many times I would just skip it and not watch it. But when I was watching it this time, I had a really different kind of reaction to it. And I don't know if it's just because I'm at a different place in my life now, but I actually kind of appreciated some of the themes that were coming up much more than I did in the past. So, and even, you know, in the last episode, when I brought up that this was the next episode, I almost said I really dislike this episode. But I don't know if I can say that I like it anymore, but I do appreciate it more as this standalone monster of the week. And that might be because as I was watching it, I was like, I'm going to start calling this episode Death to the Patriarchy. So
I definitely did not enjoy it as much as the previous pair, but I absolutely must say it sucked me in. Now, of course, I was just so troubled with Ted's behavior to Buffy and just the clear duplicitousness. And I was also upset with Joyce for not listening to Buffy. And I know Buffy was being a little petulant at the beginning, but she was ready to give it a go. And it was understandable. She was shocked. She was surprised. So I felt like her behavior was okay.
Right.
You know,
right.
But Joyce not listening to her when I feel like Buffy was being pretty honest to her mom, that really bothered me. And we'll get into that interaction. There was a place where Joyce kind of redeemed herself and, you know, a little bit. And but it was a disturbing episode is what I'm going to say.
Yes.
And perhaps the most disturbing one we've watched. So it sucked me in, but it wasn't the sort of pleasurable enjoyment that I had, for example, in the last two.
Yeah, Rolling Stone ranked this higher than the last two episodes. Not much, but they put it at number 61.
Yeah, it's got some depth. I mean, it has some depth, but it's disturbing.
Yeah, yeah, that's for sure. I do want to, I have stuff to say about Joyce, but we can get to that in a
Let's do. So shall we go ahead and jump in?
Yes, let's do that.
The whole Captain and Tennille, I mean, I've heard of Captain and Tennille, and I think I know one song by theirs. The whole discussion between Xander and Willow was completely over my head.
I got it. And what was weird is I just finished this cozy mystery last night. Mm-hmm. And at the end of it, they also reference Captain and Tennille.
Huh.
And I thought, wow, I haven't thought about Captain and Tennille in years and years, if not decades. And on the same day, it comes up twice.
Wow. That's wild.
Well, and I think, you know, the song that Willow and Xander are probably referencing is, you know, Love Will Keep Us Together.
Oh. I think I know that song.
Yeah. Love will keep us together.
Okay.
That's really not the right tune, but.
Love will keep us together.
That is
something like that.
Yes, that is the one.
Okay. I think it's in an episode of Arrested Development. I did not know that was by Captain and Tennille.
That is Captain and Tennille. Yes. But in that field book that I mentioned for the first time in our last episode, he thinks that the Captain and Tennille is actually a reference to Spikella and like who's really in charge in that pair up or who was in charge, right? Because they think they're dead.
Mm-hmm.
So was Spike in charge? Was Drusilla in charge? And so he thinks that's a stand-in for that.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Which we saw no Spikella.
That's true.
Yeah, which I was bummed about. But we know they will return, not in this episode. I was looking forward to seeing them. Look, but I'll have to wait.
You gotta wait, but not long.
Okay. So yes, and we have John Ritter.
Yeah.
As the perfect cook, perfect software guy who's going to give Willow some free goods, and everybody seems to love him but Buffy.
Yeah. I think the cook thing is a throwback or just a nod to Three's Company.
Oh, you know, because he was a chef, right?
He was a chef, yeah.
I forgot all about that, but as soon as you said it, I was like, yeah, now I totally remember. Oh, that's funny. That's funny.
What I didn't like was how quickly Willow and Xander got onto his side.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was immediate.
Yeah, Xander's just like, food, ooh.
Well, he kind of played right into things that were important to each of them.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Xander was like, you could charge $200-$300 for these. I don't think so, Xander.
Oh, and I'm still on crosswatch because Buffy hasn't worn, oh, good lord, Buffy has not worn Angel's Cross in a couple episodes, but she had it on in this one.
That's what I thought. And you know what's funny? I thought I saw Cordelia with a cross on as well.
Oh, really?
I might have messed that up.
Well, the deeper she gets into it, the more she might be thinking, hey, maybe I should always have a cross on.
You know, that's fair. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah. Yeah. And always be carrying a flask of holy water.
Oh, yes.
These things every Sunnydale resident should always have on them.
And we've talked many times about Buffy having a little stake garter.
Yeah.
Sort of have a stake always at the ready.
Yeah. Yep. I did like the scene when, you know, Buffy's taking out her feelings about Ted and her mom on that vampire.
Loved it.
It's like,
it's staking time, really, don't you think?
And that was healthy. Again, I mean, she didn't even know Joyce was seeing anyone.
Right.
And she comes home and they're making out in the kitchen.
Right.
I have judged Buffy's behavior in the past for various things, and I cannot judge this. And I, it's not because he's a jerk later. She was shocked. She was surprised.
Right.
And she needed some time to adjust, and her talking with Angel was like, well, maybe your mom needs it. And so she was ready to give him a chance. But I don't think there was anything terrible about what she did toward the beginning of the episode in her reactions and taking out her healthy aggression on the undead. I think that was perfectly acceptable as well.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree with all of that. I mean, Joyce should have told her she was dating. And you don't just say, hey,
yes,
I've got somebody I want you to meet and expect them to be happy about that, let alone them walking in on you.
Yes. Yes.
So it shouldn't. Yeah. Buffy should have known that her mom was at least dating, if nothing else.
It was a lot to adjust to very quickly when he was all ready to move in. You know, he was like, it's important you're cool with this because I love your mother. I mean, it was whoa. This is a lot to take in here.
Yeah. Well, if somebody was constantly calling me little lady, I think I'd want to beat the shit out of them, too.
We'll get into the faults of Ted as we move forward. That one being the least egregious, and yet it was horrific.
Yeah. The diminutives he pulls out are.
Yes. Incredibly patronizing and just not even appropriate at all.
Right. Right. And of course, you can't help kind of feeling a little bit mad at Willow and Xander the next day when, you know, they're going all psychology on Buffy and basically kind of taking Ted's side a little bit.
Yeah.
But I'm going to kind of wait. I have more I want to say about that, but I'm going to also, it'll be the same thing I want to say about Joyce. So I think I'll save it to talk about it then. But yeah, separation anxiety, losing a mother figure, conflict with the father figure. Come on.
Come on. Yeah. We had very little of Angel, who does seem to be recovering. So he doesn't look to be quite as in a bad state the way Drusilla was, but we haven't seen him back to full strength yet. So we'll see.
Right. Yeah. I think I have to say, out of everybody, and it's really kind of the only scene he's in, his seems to be the only response that seems reasonable.
Yes. And perhaps even helpful.
Right.
Right.
Right. Right. He's not being dismissive and
no
of how Buffy's feeling.
Nope. Nope. Just maybe kind of asking her, can you step outside of yourself for a moment?
Right. Right. Yeah.
But not like you have to step outside of yourself, you know, just
exactly.
You kind of think about how your mom feels.
Right.
And speaking of people not quite back to full strength yet, we also got to see Jenny again in this episode. And her, well, you're skulking around me, but you haven't checked on me, you know.
Right.
Also still working through some stuff.
Yeah. And I was with Jenny on this.
Yeah.
You need your space. You need your space. And I mean, I was glad that she gave us a time frame, right? It's been 3 weeks and, you know, you make me feel bad that I don't feel better.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I was kind of with her on that. It has only been 3 weeks. Why? I mean, I understand Giles's concern because he cares for her. But when somebody clearly asks you to give them space, give them the space and let them let you know when they're ready.
Yeah. Clearly, all it took was a good vampire slaying. But yeah, at this point, certainly.
Yeah, yeah. Did you happen to notice when Buffy and Willow and Xander were standing in front of the vending machine that there was a whole row of stuff that was upside down?
Oh, my God. I didn't. I was trying to find out what Xander purchased, but I didn't quite get that. And I did not see the upside down stuff. That's funny.
I just thought it was weird. I was like, is everything upside down in there? No, it was just the one row.
That is strange.
It was weird. It was just a stupid thing I noticed.
The vending machine guy had an off day.
He did. But, oh, it was so creepy when Ted showed up at school and,
yes, it's like, oh my gosh, just this first encounter, and then it's like floodgates, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
Just, just not handled well. And I feel a little, I feel this goes on Joyce, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you messed up with having her see you guys kiss. Now let's kind of move slowly in, mm-hmm. into this now.
Mm-hmm.
No, because show up at the school and then immediately begin parenting Buffy. I know that Joyce didn't witness all of that, but just terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. You would have thought he might have said something to Buffy like, oh, I'm going to be at your school.
A little heads up, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's so creepy.
Oh, so creepy. And Xander just bullies her into the mini golf, which, you know, the mini golf was mm-hmm. fine to have
right.
such an outing.
Yeah.
But again, just now you're in my school, you know, just too much too soon.
Yeah. You know, Xander might not be a really good student in school, but he has really been a good student with the whole toxic masculinity thing.
Oh my gosh.
It's like, come on, Xander. Yeah. Just overrule them.
Mm-hmm.
When clearly Buffy didn't want to go.
You know what? We would love to, honestly, but unfortunately we have that thing on Saturday.
Oh, that thing.
Hey, we can do that thing anytime. I'm tired of doing that thing. We're on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So.
And oh my gosh, this whole mini golf thing. Even before the clearly horrible behavior, the beginning with, oh, you must be fighting, the boys must be lining up, blah, blah, blah. This whole kind of objectifying her immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Don't ask her what her interests are.
Right.
Or, you know, just treat her like an object here.
Yeah.
So I didn't like that. And that was in front of everyone.
Right. And nobody else thinks anything about it.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
Yeah, that's blah.
But then, of course, the ultimate, I mean, just the horrific, abusive behavior when he catches her putting the ball in the hole.
Yeah, yeah.
He's going to slap her, you know, slap her face. Okay, great. The person that is dating my mom that I just met has threatened to slap me in the face.
Yeah. And for me, of course, having watched John Ritter and all these other shows and so forth, and he always portrayed such a good, affable fellow.
Yes.
It was doubly hard to see him act this way and shocking, right? Because it was so against how we expect to see John Ritter, for those of us who knew who he was. I was just like, whoa, that's just really weird coming out of John Ritter's mouth.
And, you know, he did a good job. You're right.
Oh, yeah.
It made it all the more horrifying. And I believed him.
Oh, yeah.
He was like hitting his leg with the club. I mean, mm-hmm. I wrote, Ted's a real psycho. Buffy
you expect
right.
him to just like grab that club and whack her across the head with it.
Oh, it was just, at the very least, you were like, this guy has some real issues. Again,
yeah.
I didn't realize he was a robot.
Right.
But I thought, okay, this is an abusive
right.
guy who is eventually going to be abusive to Joyce.
Right.
There's no doubt about it. This is, he hides under this veneer, but clearly it doesn't take much for it to come out.
Yeah. I think they did a good job of like dropping little breadcrumbs about him being a robot without being clearly they weren't overt about it, because I remember the first time I watched it, I didn't realize you know something's off, but you.
Yes.
I mean, robot.
But I thought it was mental illness. When he died, I thought she had killed a human. I maybe I should have suspected because mm-hmm. it's Buffy the Vampire Slayer. But I did not think he was anything but a disturbed human.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, kudos. Good casting for that part.
Yeah.
but I think he is also a good demonstration for the evils of binary thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Right is right, wrong is wrong. And right. I just put a note, binary thinking equals the downfall of civilization.
Mm. So well said.
Yeah, a little crazy. And you know, some of the stuff he said, like when Joyce is like, oh, let's just let her toss her ball back on, or let her start over, or let her start to turn over, or whatever. And he says,
the rules are the rules. And what we teach her is what she takes out into the world when we're not there, whether it's at school or an unchaperoned party.
You know, what we teach her is what she takes out into the world when we're not there, which is true, right? It's a true statement. But it sounds so creepy coming from him. It just sounds wrong coming from him.
It's true, but once again, overstep your bounds much?
Yeah.
You are not, you just showed up in your life. And whatever your hopes are mm-hmm. for the future, mm-hmm. you are not her father.
Right.
You have no right to be a parent mm-hmm. at this point. Right. And Joyce says he's got a point.
Right.
You know, where it should be, you know, Ted, it's just not appropriate at this right. time for you to, you know, this right. is my domain. I mean, it just completely inappropriate.
Well, maybe I'll bring in my Joyce thing now, because I was having, I had the same reaction, right? And even, you know, after Buffy kills Ted and they're down at the station, I was like, man, Joyce is just acting really weird. Like, why would you let Buffy go in by herself? Because she's a minor. Mm-hmm. And if you weren't going to be in there, why did you let her go in and talk to the cops without a lawyer mm-hmm. kind of thing? And then, of course, we find out that Ted's doping up the food.
Oh, yes.
So Joyce has probably been exposed to his food for much longer. And clearly it doesn't take too long to kick in, because we see it in Willow and Xander.
Yes.
And so I'm thinking Joyce has probably just got this drug built up in her system. And so she's already in Ted's thrall, so to speak, because of the drug.
This is a very good point. And I need to have more empathy for Joyce here. But yet she has the capacity to be kind of devastated by the loss of Ted. Mm-hmm. She's not just like, oh.
Mm-hmm.
What happened here?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because mm-hmm. Buffy tells her, and Joyce doesn't want to hear it. This is after the mini golf.
Right, right, right. Yeah. I still think it is tied to the drug.
Well, I'm sure you're right. Because why would they introduce the drug
right.
to give us to give Joyce this out?
Right, right.
Because I guess
otherwise
she's just
a terrible mother. Right?
I guess I just thought the maternal instinct might trump the psychotropic drug.
Well, I think there's plenty of evidence in the real world to show that drugs can trump the maternal instinct.
That's fair. That's fair. That's fair. And of course, at this point, when I'm writing down my notes, I don't know about the drugs.
Correct. Yet. Correct. Correct. But I thought, well, you know, I keep holding this back. I'm just going to put it out there now.
Yeah. No, you're right.
And I think
you're
that then
right.
explains some of Willow and Xander's, because Xander's like constantly eating his cookies and.
Yep. And Buffy isn't taking a bite.
Right.
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 Buffy has her own reasons mm-hmm. for, I'm not going to mm-hmm. eat this guy's
yeah, food. Yeah. And they even throw that breadcrumb out there where Buffy's like, I would just like to eat something that's not made by Ted.
Yeah.
Which is a little breadcrumb, which I don't know anybody that caught it about. Something's wrong. Something's in this food that's mm-hmm. making people act this way. It's all the hindsight stuff that we can see. We're like,
yes.
Oh, yeah.
And so maybe Buffy goes a little far, like showing up at Ted's work.
Yes. Yeah.
But she gets some really disturbing information
mm-hmm.
that he's going to get married in 2 months.
Yeah.
And by the photo on the table, it is Joyce that he's planning on marrying.
Yep.
And he folded the picture to fold Buffy out.
Yeah. Nothing telling there.
Yeah.
That would have creeped me out if I would have seen anything like that.
Yeah.
Now there, I will give props to my step parents. They never made me feel secondary or unwanted or anything like that.
That's props, good.
Props to them.
That's so, props to them indeed.
Yeah. And I was just like, oh, Buffy, that's really stealthy to hide in the little kitchenette area there with the coffee. And again, a little bit much for us to believe that he doesn't see her there.
Which clearly he knows. He later knows that she's been at the office.
Yes. Yeah. I wrote down again with the Buffy quick thinking. I'm Belinda.
Crazy.
Oh, Buffy. And then here's one of those little clues about Ted, right? Where the coworker calls him the machine.
Yes.
And, you know, later Joyce says something like, I think every home should have one of you know, like a freaking vacuum cleaner or something. So there's all these, in hindsight, little clues that they've been dropping that
he's
not human.
You're right. And I appreciate that it was not your first time through. Because, yes, you're saying these things, and I'm like, oh, yeah, but I did not write any of those things down.
Well, again, it's all the hindsight from having seen it many, many times. But I think writing a lot of this stuff down as I was watching it, I started to appreciate this episode a lot more. I was like, wow, there's more in this writing. There's a lot more in Ritter's portrayal of Ted. That's a lot deeper. And so forth. So, and I think if we think about like the guy who made Ted, the original Ted, you know, we could get into some really deep philosophical discussions about why he created Ted, right? Is this just all about the fear of death? Mm-hmm. Or is this an science experiment gone bad in a Frankenstein-y kind of way? It's also a good example of how humans are pretty good about finding short-term solutions for things, but are terrible about thinking about long-term consequences. Global warming. So, I mean, there's a lot of different things that started to come up for me after watching this with a much more critical eye.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Battlestar Galactica much? You know? I'm with Willow. Ted in the 1950s, this is impossible, right? It's not only astonishing. I mean, have Joyce and Ted had sex? I mean, what? This is a level of sophistication.
God, I didn't even think about that. Now I'm like, ooh, is Ted like a Ken doll?
I mean, he's not going to hide that for very long.
No, you'd think he would have had a new wife like every year or something.
Yeah.
When they're like, oh, he can't perform his husbandly duties.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I loved and hated that dinner scene.
Oh,
I think the acting was great.
Yes.
And I mean, Sarah Michelle Gellar does a fantastic job in this scene where she looks totally disgusted about the whole thing. She's glaring. I love how she's glaring at Ted, but everything Ted is saying just made my skin crawl.
100%. I said, oh no, Ted is creepy, creepy, creepy.
Yeah. From the praying when he's like, and help us to be more honest as he looks right at Buffy. I'm like, dude, come on.
Yeah. My exact words are, Ted is laying it on thick with this prayer.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, when Buffy asks if they're engaged and Joyce is answering and he's like, now, Joycey,
handle
this? Oh, I was just like, everything about it.
Yeah. Yeah. And then Joyce apologizes for Buffy's behavior. Mm-hmm. And looking back at it with the lens of she's being drugged, this helps me to absolve Joyce of some things.
Yeah, it was just, I mean, you know, Ted is the, I mean, I know it's like the patriarchy on steroids here, but you know, everything about the patriarchy is Ted.
Yeah.
You know, and he's like, when he says to Buffy, "It's okay to have feelings, Buffy, and it's okay to express them." I wrote down, "Thanks for giving her permission, Ted."
Exactly. Ooh. Exactly. Exactly. I mean, yes, clearly this is an iron fist. I mean, you know, we're eventually going to see his little hideout, and I don't know what exactly was meant by Xander saying his four wives were in the closet, you know, were their bodies rotting, or did he have them in stasis, or what the heck did he see in there? We have no idea, but clearly horrific.
Yeah. Yeah. And when Buffy comes back from the playground and he's waiting in her room.
Oh, I was freaking out.
Yeah. Horrified.
I said, of the little scene here, I said, Ted is seriously delusional. Holy crap, Ted. Ted is really going for it.
Mm-hmm.
Did she kill him? OMG, Buffy killed Ted. Mm-hmm. I mean, it started as self-defense, but it went too far.
Yeah.
I was shocked. I was just shocked.
Yeah. They pulled no punches. I didn't mean to be glib there, and I didn't really mean it as a pun, right? But that whole thing, right? I mean, John Ritter or as Ted is just like in her face, throwing all this stuff at her, and then like all sorts of mental abuse being thrown at her. Like,
beg to differ, little lady. Everything you do is nothing but my business from now on.
I think you better get out of here now.
Or what? You'll slay me? I'm real. I'm not some goblin you made up in your little diary. Psychiatrists have a word for something like this. Delusional. So from now on, you'll do what I say, when I say, or I show this to your mother. And you'll spend your best dating years behind the wall of a mental institution.
Yeah, and then just a outright slapper one.
Belzer. I mean, and it is, he was not pulling any punches.
No,
I mean,
he
really hit her. And we see later that she does not have a bruise, but it's because she's the slayer, right? I mean, the way he hit her, a normal human girl would have bruised badly.
Yes.
From that. Yes.
Well, probably would even had a broken cheekbone or something.
Uh-huh.
Because he does not hold back.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. That whole scene, I was just like, damn.
And I had to give, I mean, I'm glad it didn't play out this way, but I had to give Joyce props for protecting Buffy and saying he fell. So trying to just resolve it. Now, if he were human, I would think he would have a bunch of bruises as well. So I don't know how well it was going to fly, but he did fall down the stairs. So maybe that could be explained. But her first instinct was this was an accident.
Right.
And it's Buffy who says, I pushed him. Yeah. And you said, like you said, takes responsibility. And honestly, I suppose in the long term, that was probably maybe something that was going to be more healthy for her mentally. I don't know. I can't even imagine being in such a situation, but I did feel like Joyce in this case was trying to protect her daughter.
Yes. Yes.
In the face of grief of losing this guy she cared about.
Yeah. I think, and I hope maybe the writers understood if she didn't at least do that, it would be hard to bring her back for people to, again, not feel animosity towards Joyce, because you can kind of feel that building up throughout this episode.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Joyce, what the hell? What the hell? But she has this kind of redeeming moment in the midst of it all.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Yeah.
Interesting.
How hard to go to school the day after. And boy, the Grapevine at Sunnydale must work really, really well, because it's clear everybody has already heard about it.
Everybody knows. Yes. Her going to, and it sounded like she wanted to go to school.
Yeah.
But that did not seem like a smart move for her to be going to school that day.
No, no, not at all. Not at all. And here I do have to hand it to Xander, right? He just assumes, because he knows Buffy, that yes. Ted had to have been some kind of creature because he couldn't imagine that Buffy would do or harm anything that wasn't.
What was he?
What?
What was he? A demon? A giant bug? Some kind of dark god with the secrets of Nouvelle Cuisine? I mean, we are talking creature feature here, right?
So kudos to Xander for that.
Yes.
But yeah. And I liked when she was saying to them, you know, I should have pulled back. I shouldn't have been using my full strength. Mm-hmm. I lost control.
Yes. Which in her growth and development, thank goodness this happened with a robot, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
This is probably something she has taken a very strong lesson from.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Then we're in the library.
Yes.
Cordelia. And...
yeah. And oh, we totally glossed over that Cordelia and Xander are making out whenever they can, but yes. Pretend, you know, trying not to let anybody know they've got this physical thing going on.
Yeah. 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 We did kind of forget about that from earlier in the episode.
Yeah. Important to mention because, mm-hmm. you know, clearly they are not quote unquote dating or out in the open, but mm-hmm. they are still, I mean, do you want to go make out in the closet?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, I like their little exchange in the library where Cordelia's like, I thought you liked him, you know, talking to Xander, who's now anti-Ted. And Xander's like, I sometimes like things that aren't good for me.
Oh, yes. That good, good line.
Yeah. And Cordelia, I like Cordelia in this scene, period, because then, you know, she questions why there aren't different rules for Buffy, right? Because she has mm-hmm. these superpowers. And Willow's like, well, that would be if. A fascist society, and Cordelia's like, yeah, why can't we get one of those?
That was amazing. I did write down, why can't we have a fascist society?
Oh, Cordy.
Yeah. Yeah. And so great that they figure out that mm-hmm. the cookies are being drugged. I mean, yep. Willow is worth her weight in gold.
Yep. 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 Oh, I also like Cordelia when Giles is saying, you know, or explaining about the guilt Buffy's feeling about killing a human.
I guess you should know, since you helped raise that demon that killed that guy that time.
Yes, let's bring that up as often as possible.
Oh, yeah. I love Cordelia.
Oh, I do too. I do too.
I do have a trivia question.
Oh, gosh. You know what? I forgot to do one for this episode, but lay it on me.
What's the name of Sunnydale's newspaper?
Cordelia, oh my gosh. I looked at this. Okay, I think I might remember the second word. The Sunnydale Press?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Because I had a little trouble reading that last word and I didn't write it down, but I remember, I think it's press. And so it stuck with me amazingly.
Very good. Very good.
Thank you.
I have to jump ahead a little bit. To
yes.
the school lab where Willow is looking at the cookies under the microscope.
Yeah.
Comes up with this Demetorin, which is not a real drug. I'm like, really? Really?
Yeah. Yeah. She's a real wunderkind.
The wunderkind.
With super supervision.
I don't need to dissolve this and run it through all different kinds
of
chemical tests to see what's in it.
I'm just going to look at it.
Comes.
Yeah.
Woo, she is the wunderkind.
Yeah.
Little That's things funny. Like that in science drive me crazy.
Sure.
Cordelia comes through clutch, right? With Ted's address and all those marriage certificates.
Yes, she really got, I don't know where she went, but she got some good information.
She did. She did. I'm not sure they would have had that kind of stuff on the internet in 1997 or 98, whatever we're in now.
Yeah. Yeah. Wonder if she went to the courthouse or I don't know.
Yeah. Hard to say, but way to go see.
Yes. Yes. Very impressive.
But I think it's nighttime, so I don't, because I mean, when we see Giles patrolling.
Well, you're right.
So she had to have pulled that stuff off the net.
Yeah. No, it's fair. It's fair. Her computer skills have come a long way.
They have. I guess those Saturday tutorial sessions.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are working.
She's really soaking it in.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then we see Jenny turns up while Giles is patrolling to apologize.
Yes.
For how harsh she sounded. And I was disappointed. Yeah. I was like, Jenny, don't apologize for that. You were well within your rights.
Yeah. And I just said, I hope Jenny will be okay. I was like, oh, great. You know, here she's, you know, reaching out and he's on patrol.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I'm not entirely sure Giles is capable of patrol.
Well, as we see, he's really not.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not without Buffy there.
So when Ted shows up, I was like, what the hell? my first thought was actually that she was like hallucinating, that she was guilt ridden and was seeing him say stuff that she was beating herself up about. Uh-huh. Right. And so that was my first thought when he was there. I just had no understanding of how he could possibly be there. And then I was like, oh my gosh, but I see his reflection. Mm-hmm. In the window. Mm-hmm. He's really there. And I just, I really did not know what was going on at that point when he first appeared to her.
Yeah, I don't remember what my reaction was the first time. This time I was like, where the hell was he hiding?
Yeah.
I thought when she walked over the window.
I thought he was a figment of her imagination. I thought she was beating herself up about him first.
Yeah, and I think when we see Ted throw her across the room by her overall strap is a second big clue. Ted's so wrong with Ted. It's not right.
Yes, I finally have a statement where I say, is Ted a computer? This is very strange.
And again, he throws that damn little lady thing out. Oh,
it's terrible.
That's right, little lady.
I just also wonder if maybe the original computer was, the original Android was a little bit better. I mean, he's going on without any maintenance or, you know, this is 1950s technology. Mm. And has he sort of lost some of his... What original programming? I don't know, but it just seems like, was he always this way or has some of him eroded? I don't know.
Oh, that could be. That could be.
I mean, the 1950s.
Yeah. I mean, computers were just really kind of starting to be built.
As big as rooms.
Yeah.
I mean, this creator was absolutely a genius way ahead of his time. I just don't understand. I mean, that this convincing an android cannot be built now. So let alone, to convince someone physically and then, you know, just to make a still figure that is convincingly human and then add on walking, talking, reasoning, driving, whatever else he's holding a full-time job, talk about AI developed in the 50s.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it would have to, right? Maybe not with a computer, because his computer is probably more advanced than the software he was selling, but yeah, I mean, he wasn't dressed like he was from the 1950s or anything like that, and he was, while some of his vocabulary and phrases were from the 1950s, yeah.
But he appropriately, he interacted with people. He responded to people immediately. Yeah. I mean, all this adaptive programming is just, it's unbelievable. I mean, I wouldn't have even believed it if it had been from 10 years ago. But the fact that he was built in his in the 50s was ridiculous.
Yeah. Pretty wild. I have to say, I think the writers, and this was written by Whedon and I think DeHotel. Yeah, Rob DeHotel and David Greenwalt. So, you know, people have been on the show since the beginning, I believe. I think they understood that we need just a little bit of humor in this episode because it's got some really heavy things going on. So yeah. When Jenny shoots Giles.
Oh, jeez. Yes.
Oh, it's like you need that little laugh, even though yeah. It's not necessarily really funny. It is funny.
He's going to make it.
Yes. Yes.
She winged him.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyways, I just had to throw that in there.
And I think it's therapeutic. I mm-hmm. think Jenny getting the chance to be part of this vampire sleigh is putting her well on the road to recovery.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it is also kind of reminding us, because at the same time, they're jumping back and forth between Buffy and Ted and Giles and Jenny. And you've got a male and a female figure both arguing and discussing or whatever. And, you know, Jenny has kind of got the upper hand in her situation. Buffy, not necessarily, right? Because Ted knocks her out.
Oh, God. Yeah.
So there's kind of that juxtaposition going on, which is interesting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was freaking out when he's trying to strangle Buffy. I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
And then we find out, because the little metal nail file, which, by the way, you should never use on your nails. So every nail technician has ever mentioned to me.
I don't own one, so.
You don't own a nail technician?
Sorry, don't own a metal nail file.
I understood. I was just,
yeah. I have used one before, because my mom has had one at least at some point in her life. Yeah.
Well, I think it was, I was just going to go off on a really stupid tangent. I'm going to stop myself.
Okay. Okay. anyway, the metal nail file reveals that Ted is not human.
Ted is not human. Yep. The little sparks from Ted's wires.
So now it's explained.
Yes. And then Willow and Cordelia and Xander break into Ted's place, which does not look like a home. It looks like a storefront.
Yes. Did you happen to notice when they go into the little 50s den?
Uh-huh.
Did you happen to notice on the wall that there were these flying ducks that had like wooden bodies with brass wings?
Yes.
There was a set of three of them.
Yes.
We had those exact ducks when I was a child on the wall in our basement on a wood paneled, you know, wall.
Right. Wow.
I was like, oh my gosh. Now, it was when I was a child. My mom is pretty savvy decorator wise. So this would have been in the 70s. It wasn't the 50s, but it was the 70s. But I'm sure by the 80s, we didn't have them anymore.
Maybe they were those ducks.
Oh my gosh. I was like, I can't believe those ducks are on the wall.
Yeah, very mid-century modern basement.
Oh my gosh.
Expected almost George Jetson to pop in.
Oh, wow. And Xander just takes one look in that closet and says, we've got all the proof we need.
Yeah, we gotta go. We gotta go. So, and actually, I think it's when we cut back to Buffy's house and Joyce is in the kitchen boxing up kitchenware.
Yes.
This is where I first have my noit. Why do I say that sometimes when this is multiple times now I've been talking about Joyce and then said noit.
Because of that oi. Got Joyce
and the noise. Okay. But this is where I have my note that says, I want to be mad at Joyce in this episode, but she's doped up without consent.
Yeah. Yeah. This is really good. I really appreciate it, because I have another note. Joyce, listen to your daughter. Mm-hmm. I know you've got your grief, but mm-hmm. you have got to listen.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't quite know how long these drugs last, but
clearly a while.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I just hate when she sees him in the doorway and she's like, Ted, you're alone. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, and it turns dark real quick.
Yeah, Ted. And, like, she cuddles with him and he's like, Daddy's here. And I'm Yeah.
I wrote Daddy's here. I wrote that down and was repulsed.
We were just talking about that in another episode. Was it for this one? Was it for a Buffy episode or was it for Good Omens?
I feel like it was the last episode that maybe Spike said it or something. because we had the similar reaction.
Yeah, Drew's like,
oh, Drusilla said, you've been a bad daddy. Yeah. That's what it was. Yeah.
Okay. Okie dokie. Hey, did you notice when Willow and Xander and Cordelia were going down the stairs that Xander helps Cordelia down the last two stairs, but does not help Willow?
Ouch. Yeah. No, I didn't.
I was like, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. And again, Cordelia with the line, feels like home if you're in the 50s and a psycho.
She's great.
She is.
She's great.
She definitely is. Yeah. And Joyce finally starts to like get through her drug fog.
Oh, yeah.
She talks about Buffy, and Ted just reacts very, very badly, and his wiring starts to short circuit.
Do we have to worry about Buffy right now? How about worrying about Teddy? He's the one who died.
I'm sorry. I don't know what to do.
Don't I always tell you what to do? I'm going to make things right. Then you and I...
Want a little gravy with that?
Can go away where no one will bother us again.
Yeah. I again, great kudos to John Ritter. This was acting beyond the range I would have thought possible for John Ritter. So, I mean, this is the, I haven't seen him in a ton of stuff, but all comedic.
Mm-hmm.
And this was, this showed some range.
Well, I saw he was in, he played a preacher in The Waltons.
I didn't see that.
I remember seeing him there. I'm trying to remember if it was a periodic role, like a recurring role or not, but I know I've seen him in some drama, but this was quite a bit different than anything else I'd ever seen him in.
Mm-hmm.
But gosh, the 1950s misogyny. Stop telling me what to do. I don't take orders from women.
Yeah. Joyce finds out too late and gets knocked out cold.
Yeah.
But she is trying. We see that she knows stuff is bad, and she's trying to placate him, trying to come up with reasons to get away, like packing.
I remember
he had
that
an answer
line
for everything, and she knew he could overpower her.
Right. Finally, it's starting to seep in. And I've never heard malarkey used so often in a television show.
It was kind of a favorite of Ted's.
It was. Little Lady, malarkey. I'm not wired.
I liked malarkey a lot better than Little Lady.
Yeah. Yes, for sure.
Let's bring malarkey back. Mm-hmm. Malarkey's great.
It was quite satisfying to see Buffy nail him with that cast iron pan.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm. And kind of cool to see his lip. You know, we really got to see the under endoskeleton. I don't know. The insides of
the endoskeleton. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a pretty good prosthetic, I think, for the 90s.
Yeah. I was impressed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Clearly practical.
For sure. But yeah, so Buffy. Oh man, I cannot speak today. Buffy conks him again and we see the robot die, for lack of another term.
Decommissioned.
Yes, thank you. That's much better.
Yeah. Now I'm curious how they're going to explain the arrow wound to the doctors when Jenny takes Giles to the hospital.
Yeah, that must have been an interesting conversation.
Yeah, a crossbow bolt.
I wonder if they're, you know, they have to report all gunshot wounds. But I wonder if they have to report crossbow wounds.
Yeah, it's a good question.
That whole interaction. But I'm glad they're back together.
Yes, they are. We got a little kissing in the library.
Yep.
And I love that Willow stole some of the pieces of Ted. I can't blame her. This technology was not available in the 90s either. I mean, it is not like it was. I mean, it's not available now.
It's like, hello, Terminator.
Yeah. Seriously.
Willow's responsible for Skynet.
There we go. Yes. Quite possible. So, yeah, quite an episode.
Yeah, I'm so glad I had to rewatch it, because, as I've mentioned several times already, I have a new appreciation for this episode.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's so awesome. It's certainly never going to be a favorite of mine, but boy, it had it. I was in it. I was pulled in for sure, and probably had some more visceral reactions emotionally than in a lot of other episodes.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, and the topic is so pertinent, right, for women.
Yes.
So, and it was weird because I was, you know, doing some not deep diving research or anything, but just some quick Google searches to see if I could find any, you know, articles about this or anything like that. And the few things I found, they kind of almost gloss over all of the patriarchal, misogynistic themes of this episode.
How recent were the articles you were looking up?
That I don't remember.
Yeah, because if they were of the time, I'd be not so surprised. If it was if it was all later than Me Too, then I would be very surprised.
Yeah, I don't remember. I didn't pay much attention.
Yeah.
Because it was more like, how can you not mention this? Why are you glossing over this? And I didn't even bother. Oh, bad. I would yell at my students for doing crap like that. Did you check the date? When was it published?
Well, you're hardly doing scholarly research here. You're somewhere in between on your zones here. You probably wouldn't rely solely on internet research either. And links like, you know, Wikipedia and IMDb.
That is true. That is true.
Yeah.
Oh, so the next episode is another monster of the week. This was a monster of the week, but it's called Bad Eggs.
Okay. Okay.
So that, that's, I guess, the it. So the only thing left to do is say bye.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Wallowing in the Shallows is created and produced by the both of us. Edited by Mo. The soundtrack for the Wallowing in the Shallows Buffy the Vampire Slayer Season 2 rewatch is Apache Rock Instrumental by Sound Atelier, available on Jamendo.com. You can send us feedback at witstvpod@gmail.com. That's WITSTVPOD@gmail.com.
Subscribe.
And then subscribe.
And then subscribe.
Subscribe.
Hit that subscribe button.
Like and subscribe.